I'm Paul Wegraff, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today are two representatives of one of the cultural historic gems of Delaware, the Historic Odessa Foundation, representing the historic houses of Odessa, the executive director of the foundation, Debbie Buxton, and someone related to families connected to the houses in Odessa, Donnan Sharp. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Paul.
So glad to have you here. The historic houses in Odessa are just wonderful gems of culture and history and heritage in Odessa, and really representing an important part of Delaware history. Debbie, let's talk a little bit, and please chime in, Donnan, about the history of the houses and sort of what they represent for the agricultural and mercantile, really, economy of Delaware.
Oh, it's a wonderful treasure trove of history and architecture. Odessa is one of the most pristine colonial townscapes in the state of Delaware. The entire town is a nationally registered historic district, and many of the buildings within the town are independently listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The Historic Odessa Foundation owns six major buildings, one of which is a National Historic Landmark and also a National Park Service Network to Freedom site. Odessa was, in the 18th century, a very active and busy port for the region. They shipped 400,000 bushels of wheat out of Odessa in the 18th century. It's first settled very early by the Dutch and the Swedes, who were forced out relatively quickly by the English. And certainly by 1720, 1730, it is an established English settlement. The name of the town was originally Cantwell's Bridge, named for the family that operated the toll bridge over the Apaquinamic River. And the word Apaquinamic is an Indian word that means a place where we had to portage. It is also the shortest distance over land between the Delaware River and the Chesapeake Bay. So it was a major trade route for the region, starting first as an Indian trade route and then later as a major English trade route.
So before the C&D Canal, it was extremely important, as you say. Is that correct?
It was. It was very important because it's only about 6.5 miles from Odessa to the head of the Bohemia River. So it was a quick shot to the Chesapeake.
And that river flows into the Chesapeake Bay.
It does.
Okay.
It does.
So Odessa is not on the Delaware River. It's on the Apaquinamic River.
It's on the Apaquinamic River, but it's only a mile over land to the Delaware River, about 3 miles by water because the Apaquinamic is a windy creek. But it's tidal. Mm-hmm. And at Odessa, the current clips through at about, 4.5 knots, which is very fast.
Mm-hmm. Now, Donnan, what is your connection to the history of these houses?
Well, my grandfather, in 1938, went back to Odessa after having taught school there, which I think started his passion. He taught school and he lived in Odessa and then went on about his life till 1958. Yeah. But he bought the first house, the Corbett House, and restored it, and then got carried away, went building by building. And he was really very passionate about the town, about the history. And as Debbie said, the architecture is just beautiful. There is no other place really on the East Coast that compares to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this was his little treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And he carried on until the day he died.
Mm-hmm. Now, Debbie, let's talk about the structures that are part of the complex that are managed by the Historic Odessa Foundation. Houses and outbuildings.
The jewel in our crown, of course, is the Corbett Sharp House, which dates 1772-1774. And it is the finest example of mid-Georgian architecture in the state of Delaware and is truly one of the finest in the mid-Atlantic. in addition to being fabulous architecture that would have been perfectly comfortable on any street in Old City Philadelphia. In fact, it's often compared to the Samuel Powell House and the Stampler Blackwell House. But even better than that, it's also one of the best documented. This house was owned by the same family from the time it was built until it was purchased by H. Rodney Sharp in 1938. The family kept extraordinary records, so the house is documented by inventories, building invoices. We know the architect that built the house, and in many cases we have original family furnishings, which just doesn't happen with historic houses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really important resource, certainly for American architectural history, regional decorative art history, and certainly for the state of Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a former history teacher, I remember taking students to Odessa mm-hmm. to visit some of the complex there. And the reason we did, as a history teacher, you can learn so much about Delaware history and economy mm-hmm. In addition to the architecture of the period. Talk a little bit about the economy of Odessa and the kinds of activities the residents of those homes engaged in. I believe some of them were Quaker merchants. And so just a lot of rich history there.
There is a lot of rich history, and you're absolutely right. Many of them were Quaker merchants. Our Wilson Warner House belonged to one of the wealthiest men in town. He built the Wilson House in 1769. It's a wonderful example of Delaware-style Georgian architecture, whereas the Corbett House is much more in the style of an urban Philadelphia townhouse. He was a very wealthy man. He operated a store. He was exchanging goods with the city of Philadelphia. He owned a sloop called the Anne, which was transporting things back and forth from Philadelphia. William Polk, who was another businessman in Odessa, built our Brick Hotel in 1822, which operated as a hotel and tavern. And in 1822, it was a really posh establishment. Up until that point, taverns and inns were pretty rough places. I mean, you know, there were places where you stopped when you were en route traveling. But oftentimes you shared your bed
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
a total stranger, mm-hmm. and it could get pretty raucous. They were pretty rough places. But the Brick Hotel was really a much more refined establishment. It did have a tavern, but the tavern had a separate entrance. So it was a hotel where ladies could go without damaging their reputation, and it also offered private accommodation. Today, that building houses our Cantwell's Tavern, which is a restaurant that's proceeds help to support the Historic Odessa Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The Historic Odessa Bank, built in 1855, is a wonderful mid-19th century building designed by Samuel Sloan, who was a prominent Philadelphia architect, building this beautiful public building in Odessa. And today that is our visitor center and also the home of our offices. So this architecture spans well over 100 years, and it really gives you a sense of the economic engine for the region, because some of these buildings are very grand. And then in addition to that, you have vernacular housing that's charming and typical of what you would find in any small village or small city.
Now, as a port town, what were some of the commodities that were shipped in or out of Odessa?
Oh, there were a full array of products that were moved through Odessa. Wheat, of course, was a major crop in that area. But there was also corn and barley and other grains. It was a major peach-producing area. By the mid-19th century, it was, you know, peaches were a big cash crop for that entire region. Oysters, you know, mm-hmm. the Chesapeake Bay mm-hmm. and the Delaware River were just blanketed with oysters. And we have diary entries, for instance, that mention barrels of oysters being shipped up from Baltimore
mm-hmm.
through Odessa to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Now, did the town of Odessa get its name? You said it was originally Cantwell's
Bridge.
Mm-hmm. But it was renamed Odessa. Any connection to the Odessa of the Black Sea region of Russia?
No, only by reputation.
Okay, okay.
No, what happened was in the mid-19th century, the railroad bypassed Odessa and went through Middletown, which is about 3.5-4 miles west of Odessa. The town fathers began to get concerned that the water trade was going to begin to decline because it was cheaper and easier to ship by rail, and the railroad took everything by storm. So this is also at the time of the Crimean War. It's the mid-19th century, the 1850s, and there is a lot of publicity in the papers about the great wheat shipping port of Odessa in the Ukraine.
Okay.
And so they decided to borrow the name, hoping to borrow some of the prosperity. Didn't work out that way. Odessa went into a severe economic decline as a result of the railroad. Didn't happen overnight. Took about, 25 or 30 years. But certainly by the Great Depression, Odessa was in very, very poor repair.
And I seem to recall somewhere in the 19th century there was a major peach blight, which greatly impacted that economy.
There was a peach blight called the Yellows, which sort of swept through the area mid-19th century, 1850s, and killed off the bulk of the peach trees. Mm-hmm. And that was a terrible hit also for the region. And this is, prior to that, too, it's before the advent of commercial fertilizers, and some of the land was getting depleted as well. So you had numerous factors that went into the economic and agricultural decline of the region.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to come back to the role of the Historic Odessa Foundation in the maintenance, preservation, and future of the historic houses of Odessa. But let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are the executive director of the Historic Odessa Foundation, Debbie Buxton, and a descendant of H. Rodney Sharp, who purchased and restored probably the centerpiece of the houses, Don and Sharp. The historic houses in Odessa and the foundation, what is the role that the foundation plays in the maintenance and preservation of this complex? And I know you're engaged now in a major campaign to assist in that.
We are. It's so important that these buildings remain open to the public for the people of Delaware, but also for people around the nation. We get visitors from all across the country. They are some of Delaware's most important buildings. Not all of them are fancy. Not all of them are mansions like the Corbett House. Some of them are examples of Delaware vernacular architecture, which is equally important to our understanding of how people lived and how our culture really developed. It's a wonderful place. It is like stepping back in time. And we were very fortunate that H. Rodney Sharp entered the picture, or re-entered the picture, I should say, in 1938 when he purchased the Corbett House, because he restored 19 properties in the historic center. Mm. And had that not happened, this is the Great Depression just prior to World War II. Things are really in bad shape in Odessa by then, and it really would have been lost. The wonderful thing is that he did such an amazing job that, when we took over in 2005, we were dealing with a lot of deferred maintenance at that point because it was 60 years later,
mm-hmm.
60, some years later since he had donated the properties. So we were able to raise a lot of grant money to help us and assist us. Primarily grant dollars paid for much of the preservation, but it's ongoing. These buildings take a tremendous amount of money to maintain and preserve at a really high rate or high level of historic preservation. And our collection is very significant. It's over 7,000 objects that were made and used in the region. We have a very large collection of Delaware furniture and goods that were made in the Mid-Atlantic. So it's a great place to come to really understand how all that begins. In addition, we own 72 acres of property in the historic center, which includes a lot of the water frontage in the town along the Appaquinimic River. We have big plans for the future. We want to create a walking trail. We've been actively involved in archaeological research of the property between the Corbett and Wilson houses and the Appaquinimic, and we've discovered really interesting stuff. The location of William Corbett's original tannery, a creamery, mm-hmm. a cannery. There was housing in that area. There was a mortuary. Mm. So it's fascinating because today that's gone, but all of those things were businesses that drove the economic engine of the town. And we want our visitors to really understand why Odessa is there. Today it looks like a sleepy little village, but in truth, it was an economic engine
of the
area.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of the foundation. When did it start? And talk a little bit about your current campaign.
The foundation began in 2005. We were formerly owned and operated by Wintertour. After some serious discussion with the Wintertour board, they decided that the two organizations should separate. And so we formed, thanks to Donnan and her sister-in-law, the Historic Odessa Foundation in 2005. And we began the preservation efforts of the buildings as they were at the time. It was an enormous undertaking, and we didn't have any money. So we are completely supported by grant money, private contribution, our membership base, and also our restaurant, which was an enormous risk for us. But today, we serve over 100,000 visitors a year in historic Odessa. For many of them, their first entrance to Odessa, their first real introduction to us is through our restaurant, Cantwell's Tavern. And, it's just grown astronomically. We're so pleased with the progress we've made. But that's also due in part to the change in the area. The Middletown, Odessa, Townsend area is one of the fastest growing in Delaware. I think it's grown like 246% mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. in the last 15 years. So there is a need for a cultural facility within that area. And we are reaching out to our community. We now have a membership of over 700 people. Mm. We are growing. We're growing really at a rapid rate. But in order to sustain all of this, we well into the future, so that Odessa is never in danger of closing again, we need to build a permanent endowment. And so we are right now engaged in a campaign for endowment. Our goal is $3 million, which added to the funds that we already have, should carry Odessa well into the future. This is the most important undertaking we've ever taken.
How can our listeners learn more about the Historic Houses of Odessa, the foundation, and your campaign?
They can go to our website, historicodessa.org, and just clip on the campaign. We have a wonderful video which explains exactly what we're doing. It also gives a lot of information about our programming. We offer lots of community programming for not just the MOT, but for people throughout the state of Delaware. We have an enormously successful school tour program. We have children. We serve over 4,500 last year. We expect to be around 5,000 school children this year, which will be our maximum number of mm-hmm. children that we can mm-hmm. accommodate. But it's very experiential. We believe in engaging the children, employing all the senses. When they come to Odessa, they get a real sense of what life was like. In addition to that, we have changing exhibitions that in our bank building, which serves also as a changing exhibition building. We have a new exhibition opening August 9th, the Earl Abbott collection. Many of these are from his personal collection, have never been seen before. And we're very excited about it. He's a fabulous Delaware artist that really represents what Central Delaware looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting, and we're looking forward to that. Right now, we have a small exhibit of 19th century fans. Mary Warner, for whom the Wilson Warner House is named, was both a Corbett and a Wilson. And she traveled extensively in the 19th century, and she collected fans from all over the world. And there's even a language to fans for courtship. Hmm. So it's mm-hmm. kind of fun and interesting. We do lots of programs. Our Brewfest is coming up September 7th. We're very excited about that. It's in its sixth year. It draws around 2,000 people. We'll have over 75 breweries from all across the country. We have music on two stages and lots of artisans selling their wares and things. It's a great time. Everybody loves it. It's just so much fun. And 100% of the proceeds benefit our historic preservation efforts and our programming.
Mm-hmm. Donna, we've got about a minute left. I'm curious, over the years, how have you seen this complex evolve, and what does it mean to you as having that personal family connection? We've got about
yes.
a minute left.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so proud of how far we've come in really a very short time for such a project. Debbie has really put it in gear, and thanks to a lot of very generous local foundations, we've come up with the funding to help the buildings. Now with our campaign, since I'm getting older, I'm stepping off the board. But before I go, I want to make sure that we're in good shape financially. And so this is really has been a big project for us. But we've reached the point where it's now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've proved our point. We're on the map. And I want it to last forever.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. It's really always, to me as a former history teacher, exciting to talk about these kinds of subjects. And having been down there many times, and I have to put in a plug for Cantwell's Tavern. It's one of my favorite places to
eat.
Thank you. It's just the ambiance and the food and the setting. It's just magnificent. Thank you both for joining us today to talk about the historic Houses of Odessa, the historic Odessa Foundation, and I encourage our listeners to visit historicodessa.org to learn more about your organization.